Hello, this is Chris, and you are listening to the Mantic Universe podcast. This is going to be a mup short, and Mark will be beside himself because we're doing this without any show notes whatsoever. So, Mark, I apologise. And with me, I'm very happy to say, is Scott Lewis, and we're here to talk about the Mantic Open Day recently. So, hello, Scott.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, buddy. So should we talk a little bit? So Scott has a YouTube channel, which we're going to discuss in a little bit, called Palette of War. It's absolutely fantastic. And no pressure, Scott, but if for whatever random reason I was put on the spot and was forced to say, who is the best painter you actually know? I think it might be you, because
really?
Your painting is amazing. Yeah, it's the quality of the blending you manage is just absolutely extraordinary. So, you know, I think your advice to me was thin your paints. But it's fantastic. Scott's working on some Riftforge orcs at the moment, and they're absolutely amazing. And I'm sort of jumping the gun a little bit, Scott. Apologies. So do you want to give a little introduction to yourself?
Yeah, I'm Scott. I've got a Instagram, YouTube channel on the name of Palette of War. Do a bit for influencing for Mantic, promoting Kings of War, but I do dabble in Armada and Dead Zone, which we're having a push on Dead Zone on my channel and my friend's channel. We played a game last week where my Marauders got annihilated, but it was just a list I threw together in 5 minutes on my lunch break at work. But no, I'm actually quite liking Dead Zone at the minute.
Yeah, you had fun. That's the most important thing, right? And Scott, how long have you been? So what got you into tabletop games?
It started when I was at secondary school, like 30 odd years ago. Used to be massive into Airfix models. And I went down to my local model shop like I normally do, and he was rearranging his stock and his shop, and he had another wargaming brand on the table, and I'd never seen him before, and I ended up spending my pocket money on this space soldier in massive armor.
I wonder what that might have been.
Yeah. So that's how that started. And it was, I was just painting them for a couple of years. And I got some for my birthday when I was still at school, and my best mate at school, his birthday was on my same day, and I told him what I got, and it turned out that my best mate at school had been playing this game for 5 years before I'd even, not even told me about it, because it wasn't a cool thing back then to tell people at secondary school that you play with toy soldiers.
Oh, deep sense of shame. Yeah, I was in my 30s by the time I went, no, I like this stuff and I'm doing it and I don't care anymore. It's fine. You know, the sense of shame followed me all through my 20s. I stayed away from it because it was sort of,
For me, it was like literally, well, it's got to be 8-9 years ago I came back into it now. Just came back into painting it, started playing a bit. With being dyslexic, the rules were a bit challenging with the platform I was playing.
And then, was that 40K, buddy? Sorry, was it 40K?
40K. Yeah, 40K in Sigma. It was, I learn by playing rather than reading. I can read, but I don't absorb it. So I have to have people teaching me whilst I play. And it was just getting too complicated and overwhelming. And then a friend said, have you tried Kings of War? And that was 14, 16 months ago. And I'm now a Pathfinder and influencer for Mantic. And I play Clash
of Kings. It's funny how that goes, isn't it? Fantastic. Yeah. And funny enough, you mentioned, obviously you can read and, you know, you read the rules, but you don't absorb them. I'm actually very much like that as well, weirdly enough. If you sit me down with the rule book, firstly, I'll get distracted by something else. But I obviously read the words, but you generally, I don't really take it in. So, you know, it's much, much better for me just to sit down with somebody else and them show me how to play the game. I find that much, much easier than just sitting down with the book. But yeah, partly that's just my very poor attention span. Super. So, Scott, so apologies, Peter couldn't make it. Pod All-Star was due to be on the pod, but he's double booked himself, which goes to show just how easy that is to do, dear listener. We've got, work and life, and those things obviously take precedence. And Scott, we met, we've had a link to your show note in our show notes to the pod, to your channel, for a long time now, because your stuff is fantastic. So, dear listener, please follow the link. But we met for the first time at Clash of Kings in Nottingham, and it was fantastic to meet you. And it's amazing how quickly you go from, I haven't actually met someone in person before, but we've been chatting for ages, and it feels very quickly like you're just meeting up with old friends, which is, yeah, you know, it's pretty special, isn't it, to be quite honest.
But I said that on the Sunday to you, didn't I? I said, it's like, it's mental how we've been chatting on Messenger and WhatsApp, and then you meet, and then it's like the weekend's over, and it's like you've been friends for like the last 10-15 years.
Exactly right. And it's very on brand, Scott. So Scott, just I'm sure he won't remember me saying, as we're talking, he's got some of the beautiful mantic sci-fi terrain that he's just painting. And you, the way you're stroking, you know, the way you're using your brush, I can just tell, I can't even see what you're painting, but I can already tell you're a better painter than I am, just the way you're holding the brush and the control you've got over it. Whereas I sort of just rub paint on things, you know.
Yeah, well, because it's terrain I'm using for a tournament I'm trying to organise in March. I'm using the slap chop, so it's just zenithal and then contrasting inks over the top.
Fantastic.
Because it's terrain, you don't have to really be too careful.
Fantastic. So Scott, you went to the Mantic Open Day.
I did.
And maybe you can talk, obviously a lot of the kind of reveals are out in the public. Although we got a scoop on the podcast. I think Ronnie accidentally mentioned Night Stalkers were coming to Mantic Sci-Fi on the pod, which is exciting. Yeah. But that was obviously big news. So I'd encourage the dear listener to go and watch the really cool videos from Mantic. But I thought it would just be great, Scott, if we just got a sense of the day, of what it was like to be there, because obviously you can't replicate that in a video.
Yeah, no, I was quite fortunate because we got there a little bit early, probably about half hour before the doors should have opened. And Ronnie being Ronnie and remembering, because I turned up with the hat I stole off him from Clash of Kings.
I remember that.
The Aussie hat. I was wearing it outside. He was talking to me and my three friends that came with me. And because we were talking, and not so, before we realised, we were inside whilst they were still setting up. So we kind of got to...
That doesn't hold up in court though, Scott, if I'm honest.
The owner let me in. Yeah, no, we were talking to him, and then before we realised, we were inside whilst all the employees were panicking, running around, setting all the games, the tables and everything up. But it being Mantic, they just carried on doing it and talking to us whilst they were setting up all their games.
And I'll just throw this out there very quickly, Scott. So I just want to say again, thanks so much, because when we were at Nottingham Clash of Kings, how do we get around? And Scott was like, oh, I've got my car. You know, okay, but there was about seven of us or something. It's got like, yeah, it's no problem. It's a big, and it was literally it was a luxury, perfect car for getting us around. So thank you so much again for just being so wonderful with that. And Scott, your friends that joined you, are they kind of long in the tooth Mantic fans, or are they people you've roped into it, or just your local gaming buddies?
There's two of them. We've got Dave Bell, who's Wargaming old guy on YouTube and Instagram. We do a few battle reports, and we're trying to aim at doing one battle report a month, flipping between Kings of War, Ambush and Dead Zone, and Firefight as well. We're going to try and get into once I've pulled my finger out and decided on a Firefight army.
What are you thinking about? Is it a toss-up between a couple of different armies? Assyrians,
yeah. I like the Space Elf theme. I like the ship.
I didn't get into Mantic sci-fi stuff for a long time, because to be honest, I heard the games were great, but I go on the website and look at the models, and it's not even necessarily the paint jobs, but it's just like the way the photos are taken was really off-putting. And I got some Asterians. I got just like a small pack of Asterians because they were on sale, and particularly the marionettes and things like that, I didn't like the look of them. I get the models, I absolutely love them. You know, I think they're super, super cool. I love Asterians is now one of my favorite factions. And I always think that's really unfortunate that Mantic aren't sort of putting their stuff in the best possible light, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Good. You touched on that, because they actually this year at the what's it, they are doing their photo room open, and the chap that takes the photos was there. And anybody that went in, he was giving you tips and advice how to take the better picture of your model. Which is something that they're trying to push towards, but because of the amount of model range they've got. They can't renew the pictures of every single model and unit, so they're just trying to, as your new models come out, like your Twilight King and your Night Stalkers, they're trying to implement that system of that better picture to better represent what that model is. Because as you're aware, when you came to that open day, you've got the the pictures of the models on the website, and then you see the same model in the cabinet, and the difference is the ones in the cabinet give you the Golden Demon crystal brush feeling, don't they? But yeah, it's exactly the same model that's on the website.
Completely. And something you still hear from people, from old tabletop gamers, is, oh no, I don't want to buy Mantic models. The models aren't very good. Well, actually, the new ones are fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Great value. And I think part of changing that perception is Mantic just putting their models in the best possible light. Something I've talked about in the pod loads of times, right? But GW aren't great at writing rules for games, but they are really good at making money. And one of those things is making their really nice models look even better in all the photography, et cetera, et cetera. So it's great to see that Mantic is catching up. And so super. So Scott, you're in early. So what was the format of the day? You know, you've already mentioned, obviously, the photos.
Yeah, so the format of the day, you've got the photo room where to be honest, if you went in, they had a few bits lying around that he was demonstrating taking photos of. But if he wasn't switched on, you wouldn't have realised that the models he had on the table were the new enforcers in the big heavy armour with the big weapons. They had the
Novashock, I think.
Yeah, Novashock. So they had them out on the table in the open. And I think that so many people overlooked the fact that it were two new models. Same as when we were walking around, all the pre-order models. And there was a few that are still to come, I think, were, we got sneak peeks when we were at Clash of Kings, but they were in the cabinet painted. And because they just mingled in with the other ones, people were, I think, overlooking the brand new models teasing you in the cabinet.
Amazing. When we were over and me, Mark and Clem went to Warlord Games, which was, again, you know, lovely, really lovely people. And we went and met they have two professional painters, and they were just casually painting some ABC Warriors for the new release. You know, they're painting the studio copies, and that, you know, they're just really nice people. Right. So you're like, oh, this looks interesting. Like, yeah, this is coming out soon. Don't worry about it. You know, happy to talk. It's really, really cool.
Yeah. But yeah, so you got that.
Super. And how long did the day last for?
Can't remember if the doors opened at 10 o'clock. And due to the ridiculous weather we'd had last week, normally it runs to about 4 o'clock, but Ronnie was wanting to wind up about 3 o'clock. So people that were traveling had a bit more time to get back home. So it was like 10 till about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock-ish, depending on if people just still hang around talking. I say there were four of us that went total. There's my friend Dave Bell, who's helping me run things at our local hobby store with a new club we're trying to run to get people into Kings of War, Dead Zone, Firefight, Armada and stuff. There was another friend, Liam Wetton, he was there, who did the start of our journey to Kings of War, from not knowing what the game is, starting ambush with a select few models. So he's been behind the scenes doing stuff with us. And then Dan Reed, the Crystal Brush Best Painted Army winner with his three dwarfs. I don't know if you've seen them.
Yeah, I have. I've got it in front of me, actually, as we speak. And actually, that's the one thing I wanted to talk to you about. So Dan Reed took first place. Absolutely stunning army.
Yeah.
And then, I'm going to struggle with this. So Derek Binkowski came second with his Northern Alliance. Absolutely beautiful. It's I think it's really hard as well to be successful in a painting competition doing kind of the house theme. You know, like if you do your Empire of Dust the way everyone else does, it's very difficult to stand out. Whereas Derek has done the house style. You know, it's Northern Alliance. It's obviously lots of snow, lots of blue. But it does, the quality of it is just a lot better than I do with mine. So it's fantastic to see that, you know, the house style doing so well. And then it seems Mitch, and apologies, Mitch, I'm not sure how to pronounce your surname. Is it Key or he seems to have cleaned up almost every other award, which is very interesting. He came third with his Night Stalkers. But just the quality. I mean, I don't know if Scott, if you've seen the diorama winner, which is an Asterian spectre fighting against an enforcer Strider. Yeah. Just the quality, again, like your work, basically, it's just, it blows my mind how smooth the blending is on that. You know, it's just, I find that just extraordinary. Your advice to me was, yeah, thin your paints. But yeah. I feel like there's not thin enough paint in the world for me to be able to get that kind of quality. You know, I'm just slapping paint on things and, you know, it looks fine. You know, I'm kind of happy with it for what I want it. But just this is, you know, this is how to explain this. This is a honeybee seeing a supermarket full of honey. You know, this is just that's a very weird analogy, but it's I can't imagine aspiring to this level of quality, which is, if I'm honest, it's you know, you're up there. You know, it's just amazing.
Thank you. It is it's difficult to explain, but a lot of it is confidence. But thinning your paints is the big one. My always philosophy is, you can always add paint, you can't remove it. So if you put it on too thin, you can always build up. I know it's going to take longer, but if you've not got your paints thin enough and you put it on too thick, it's really hard to remove that paint. So that's why I just, if anyone asks, just make sure your paint's really thin, because you can always add more layers, but you can't take layers away.
Yeah, that's really good advice. Fantastic. Yeah. And of course, if your paint's nice and thin, if you make a mistake, it's really no issue. You just put another thin layer of paint on and you're good to go, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. Doing stuff like that, just treat it like glazing. Even if the simplest thing you can do is do your base colour, your mid-tone and highlight, and do it really rough. And then your mid-tone, just really water it down and glaze it over all the top, and it'll blend it all together. It'll take them sharp edges away for you.
Fantastic.
This is Ronnie Renton, and you are listening to the Mantic Universe podcast.
I'm Scott, aka Palette of War. Welcome to Mantic Universe podcast, and check out my YouTube and Instagram.
And what's the difference between, so if you were painting something to tabletop standard versus, you know, let's say you were entering, you know, a competition, crystal brush or whatever. I mean, obviously you're going to spend a lot more time painting the you know, the higher paint job, but could you just give us an idea of what the difference is between this looks nice on the tabletop versus, okay, this might win a competition kind of level?
Yeah, literally my go-to is if I want to just get army painted that I'm going to play with, and I'm just going to use at my local club, obviously it'll be undercoated with say black or a gray, and then I'll just block in all the base colors. So I'll just paint the whole model in base colours, and then I'll put a soft or strong army wash over the top, and then that's it. That's my tabletop standard, because it'll look good at a distance. And then if I'm painting my Riftforged Orcs that I'm painting for Clash of Kings, it's then highlighting, layering, feathering, blending. And so, yeah, so the difference is, say a Riftforged Orc infantry model, if I'm doing it to a tabletop standard, I'd probably get a troop or a regiment done in a day. But if I'm doing it for Clash of Kings, I'd probably only get one or two of their models done in a day, if that. So it's just the level of detail you go into, really. But
and how much? So it's lots and lots of extra steps, lots and lots of layers. And is there, so when you do the tabletop standard, do you do a quick highlight after you've done a wash?
It would depend. If the model's not standing out enough for me, then like armor panels, I'll probably go over and just do a highlight on the very edges. Same with any cloaks, I'll probably just do a quick highlight of the same base color, so I won't go too much bright. I'll just try and bring it back up to how it was before I put the wash on.
Oh, that's a really good tip. I like that. Fantastic. And what's the difference if you're painting a Kings of War army? What's the difference between, you know, if you're painting a troop or a regiment versus a hero? So, for example, your Rift Forger looks absolutely stunning.
Yeah, different. It's an individual model, so people are going to be looking at it more. So I'd probably do the base coat, the wash, and then I'd highlight everything up just because it's an individual model and it's going to stand out more than a troop or a regiment. And then going on to your troops, your regiments and your hordes, I'd probably do your base coats and wash for the back two lines and then do the highlighting on the front lines because your opponent's only going to see the front line highlight that's highlighted because the rest is covered. So that'll make your units pop out a bit more than anything else.
Scott, when you paint something to tabletop standard instead of, you know, as good as you can get it, which is much, much better, is there a part of you that feels, when you see your models on the table, is there a part of you that kind of feels, oh, I could have done that better? Or are you kind of at peace with, this is tabletop standard, I'm just here to have fun, that's, yeah, it's good enough?
Yeah, it's one of them. Sometimes it's like, you know what, you do it, you play it, and then you're looking at it on the table and you're like, oh, that looks good, but it's got the potential to be a bit better. You've already done the groundwork, so if you want it to be a bit better, you pick that unit up and you spend a day just doing little bits, highlights, just to bring it up that next level. Once you got it to a tabletop standard, there's nothing stopping you 4 months down the line when you're thinking, actually, I want it to stand out a bit more, of having a week on it, just bringing some highlights up. You don't have to go crazy. And then next time you put it down, it'll look like you've completely repainted another unit because you've just done them basic steps of just bringing the highlights up a bit.
I was messing around with homemade washes for doing my firefight stuff. And I was quite happy with it. So I was just mixing stuff into some mediums and just having a little play around with it. And I really liked it. So I ended up going back to, I think, all of my firefight armies. And whenever there was metal, so my Marauders, my Forge Fathers, my Asterians, I created a different color wash.
Yeah.
Or sorry, I call it a glaze, I suppose. Let's say glaze. I don't really know what I'm talking about, as you know, Scott. And I ended up going back and doing all of my Mantic sci-fi stuff because it was really fun, and I thought it just made it maybe 10% better than it was before, and it was quick and it was fun, and I felt, oh, I've made this, you know. It was very, very simple, but it was really, really cool. So yeah, as you say, Scott, if you've climbed halfway up the mountain, you can just choose to keep climbing if you want to, you know. Fantastic.
People need to remember as well, when you're painting your army, you're painting it for yourself, you're not painting it for anybody else. As long as you're happy with it and you're happy to put it on a table and play people, then that's the goal achieved.
Yeah, completely right. This is all just a hobby. It's just having fun, right? That's the only thing that matters. This is fun. We're doing this in our free time. If we're not having fun, what the heck are we doing? And Scott, can you talk to us a little bit about, so do you use a wet palette or just a...
Yeah, I use, I've got a Army Painter wet palette that I use. When I'm doing a few bits of dry brushing, I've got an old bamboo chopping board that I use as a dry palette for my dry brushing. So yeah, do use it.
That's a good point, dear listener. Even I know that wet palettes are not good for dry brushing.
But another thing, when you do come to dry brush, I'll quickly show you. I know this is very good for a podcast, but that's my dry brush palette, which is just a bamboo chopping board. And then I have a little sponge in a pot. You literally dip the end of your brush that you're dry brushing with in some water, drop it onto the sponge and press it in with your finger. And before you start, you just want to dab your bristles of your dry brush in so they're not soaking wet, they're just damp, but not damp enough to leave residue on the back of your hand. And that'll rapidly reduce the chalky effect you get when dry brushing.
Oh, that's a great tip. Yeah. Because I've done that many a time where there's too much. I want to dry brush something, and there's either too much paint on the brush to dry brush, or as you say, it's kind of chalky. It's uneven, so you end up with a weird effect that's actually a pain in the bum to then go back and change that if you've done washes, etc. Fantastic. Yeah. Oh, that's a great tip. And where do you stand on, Scott, do you get super fancy brushes? Do you get cheap brushes? Do you get somewhere in between? Have you got favourites? Does it depend on what you're doing?
So like, I'm chucking, if I'm using inks, contrast paints and washes, I use cheap brushes because it soaks up into the ferrule and it splits the ends. But when I have got my, I say I use Artis Opus. I like the amount of paint they hold in. So I've got a variety. I've got cheap synthetic ones. I've got old Games Workshop ones, Army Painter ones. My dry brush set is Army Painter dry brushes. For the past 6 years, I was using makeup brushes as my dry brushes. But yeah, when I'm doing commissions and when I want the extra bit of control, I will use either Rosemary & Co. or Artis Opus standard detail brushes.
Fantastic. But don't use those super fancy brushes for where you're glooping paint, doing washes, because what you've said there is if the paint gets to the end, so the opposite of the other end of it to the tip, right? It's called the ferrule, as you said, right? If you get paint in there, and it dries, it's game over for the brush. Doesn't matter how good the brush is, right? You're going to struggle. Yeah,
there is tips and techniques to try and bring them back, but it will never be how it was when you first got it. A trick I use for cleaning old knackered brushes and giving them a bit more life is hand sanitizer.
Is that the alcohol in it or something like that? Is it alcohol?
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. And I had another question and I can't think of it now. Have you used brush soaps or anything like that? Or you're good with the hand sanitizer?
Brush soap.
Yes. The answer is yes, dear listener.
Yeah, it helps. More expensive ones are real hair, well, animal hair. So you do need to try and keep them conditioned to help try and keep the shape, because it's all about keeping that nice point. The minute that point goes, then you're not going to struggle, but it's going to not be as easy and nice to try and get them dots on the eyes and stuff like that.
It's just not the same, is it, to be honest? Loads of my brushes have got at least two tips. And you can make it work for things like edge highlighting or, as you say, glooping paint on things. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, it's just not the same, is it? Fantastic. And I just wanted to mention as well, just looking at the Mantic, the crystal brush competition, just wanted to mention the new recruits. So first place was Antec. With he's done a fantastic looking Enforcers Army. Gottfried came second with his Wizard, and third place was Reiner. Apologies if I pronounced that wrong, with his Ice Elemental. So that's really good. So well done, guys. Oh, and Imi is fourth place with his Nucca. So lovely Mantic model. So congratulations to the young bloods. Scott, sorry, we went down a bit of a rabbit hole there with talking about painting. But Mantic Open Day, just to bring it back then. So obviously there were a lot of presentations. There was the photos. Was there anything else going on?
They had all the games set up. So you had your Firefight, Dead Zone, Kings of War and your Ambush. So they were on their gaming tables. Then they had their Umbrella Academy. I think they might have had... I can't think of his name now. Hellboy. I think they had them out. And then they had the dice game, like Hellboy, the superhero one, and the Walking Dead. So they had all the games to feel in demo. And then if you walk around the loop of the building past the kitchen, they had two tables set up for demoing Warpath, which every time I went to try and get a go, the tables were full, for no surprise. They also had the advent calendar set up for people to have a go at the ballroom brawl. And then they had a building and painting room set up as well for building terrain and painting models, which you then could take away with you.
Amazing. Did you try ballroom brawl?
Again, every time we went in, there was people queuing. So
it's tricky.
They also had a crazy bargain room as well, where they were selling things. A lot of Vanguard stuff was on sale. I can't remember the exact prices now, but all the Vanguard boxes were heavily reduced. And they had Terrain Crate 3 on sale, reduced as well, to get you in, get you into the terrain. And then they did the Resin Tour as well with Ricky.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, fantastic. Oh, yeah, we did that for Clash of Kings. Well, it was me and my cheerful sort of pushing through kind of a situation where I just ignore the social cues of no, Chris, stop, just cheerfully. Hey, what are you up to? But he's a lovely, lovely man. And the Warpath. So obviously it's in the small scale.
Yeah.
So
10mm is jumping.
It's coming, yeah. So it's coming to Kickstarter. Did you get a sense of, were they, do you think they were plastics? Were they PVC, or is it impossible to tell what they were?
I think the only ones they had out were 3D prints, and the ones you were playing on the board were just round bases, didn't have anything on. They just had the names of the units written on. So I've got a feeling it's going to be the new plastics. Just because it's easier for him to mass produce, and I've got a feeling it's going to be the new plastics.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'm really excited about that. And then part of me thinks, I mean, I'll definitely back the Kickstarter when it comes. I think it's already on preview, dear listener. But and then I think, I already don't have enough time to play Armada. I don't have enough time to play Firefight. You know, there's already, you know, enough fantastic Mantic games in a way, but I will definitely back it. Fantastic. And was there anything else on the day that was worth mentioning? Was there anything that really stuck out to you?
So they had the demo with Worms again, which I didn't get to have a try. But Pete had a play of quite a few board games, so it might be worth having a chat to him about the board game side of it. But no, the big standout for me was, so I've done the resin tour a few times, but no, the big standout for me was the photo room, and just getting the tips and advice on how to take the photos and what equipment they use. So, and then obviously the Ronnie talk at the end is always interesting.
That's definitely true. And they've got their run. They've got the license to do the run, right?
Yes, they've got the license to distribute the run for tournament and competition winners. So they're allowed to post it out and stuff now. So
fantastic. Super. Scott, thank you so much for joining us and taking the time and for all the amazing tips. Is there anything we haven't discussed that, what have I missed? Bear in mind, dear listener, we didn't have notes, and that's entirely on me.
Yeah, no, these, like I say, Ronnie dropped the hint of Twilight King coming to Firefight, Dead Zone, I can't remember where around it was. And the other thing is, I said, I'm not very familiar with it, but it was heavily hinting on the return of a revamped Vanguard at some point, which will be the gist we got was they're going to redo it, but it's going to be like Ambush is the lead into Kings of War. It's going to be a separate, it's more of a hero based, so it's going to be a side game rather a lead and step into Kings of War.
That sounds perfect. That sounds really exciting, really interesting. Yeah, because Ambush naturally is the lead into Kings of War, right? And I'm not really sure how Vanguard could be because it's all individually based. That's amazing. And this is a really random point, but I actually think the Night Stalkers will look super cool just on round bases. I think they're going to look really, really cool. Be interested to see if Clem does an army for that because he's already got a massive Night Stalkers Kings of War army. But I think that was a great idea because it's so easy for them to transition that into their sci-fi games. And I think it'll fit right in. I think that'll be fantastic and maybe offer some different play styles that don't exist. Maybe it makes it less likely that the Nameless come because that Gribbly Monsters and Gribbly Monsters, they might, you know, maybe that's too similar. But it's really, really cool. Fantastic. Super.
Oh, the other thing as well is he also hinted at possibly looking at something with Dreadball as well.
Oh, interesting, which I've got, never played. Everyone says it's a brilliant game, but Mordor has a fantasy football game, so no one ever plays it. Sorry, buddy, carry on.
Yeah, our club's looking at getting a couple of the boards and teams. And I was lucky enough to acquire some of the new Preem mats at the open day as well that that Mantic gave me, along with the
fantastic
all this Terrain Crate 3 stuff for the tournament. So I'll say thank you.
Do you want to give a shout out to your club as well?
Yeah, it's in Burton upon Trent, in the Midlands. It's called Books and Banter. We're trying to start it up now under the name of Banter and War. So.
So that's a very deliberate step toward Mantic to make it clearer, right?
Yeah, I say we're trying to. I'm in the midst at the minute of setting up a Kings of War tournament in March.
Can we talk about specifics about that?
Yeah,
do you want to give it a shout out now?
Yeah, no. I say we've not advertised it yet, so this will be the first time. We're trying to do four games in one day. 1995 points, As I say, I've not advertised it yet, and it's almost full already because I've got the likes of Steve Hildrew, Steve Evans, and a Chris Walsh, I think, is one of them, and a few other people wanting to come down. So it's filled up quite quickly through Steve Hildrew and Steve Evans.
Kings of War royalty, amazing.
Yeah, well, my idea was it was more of a thank you to Steve and everybody for running the tournament. So my idea behind it is it's a tournament for tournament organisers, so they can play in a tournament without the stress of running it. That's my idea.
That's a really cool idea. So they can actually just go and have fun with their friends and roll some dice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
The fantastic thing about the venue that we're using, it's in the town centre. It's got literally, you walk out the door, you've got bus stops, and 5 minutes down the road is a train station. So it's easy accessible. And but yeah, so that should be hopefully mid-November, end of November. I'll be advertising it for the last few slots that are available for the tournament in March.
So lots of lovely people are going, plus Steve Hildrew. What more could you possibly want?
we've got support from obviously Mantic have supplied me 2 tables worth of mats and terrain, which is what I'm painting up now. I've also had a sponsorship from, I need a shout out to Playmats EU, who were donating 2 mats for the tournament as well, a Poland-based company. And then I've got tabletop upgrades as well, giving some support, which you saw there, measuring sticks and stuff at Clash of Kings in my nice laser cut casing and stuff. And our friend Baron of Dice is also going to donate some bits as well.
Funnily enough, I was just about to give you a thanks, Scott, on the pod. Is our relationship with Baron of Dice is 100% down to Scott and his making connections. So thank you ever so much for that, Scott. That was brilliant.
Yeah, no, always my pleasure.
Thanks, mate. Super. I think there were some great painting tips there, to be honest. That was fantastic, just for me personally. So, Scott, thanks so much for sharing all of your skills and expertise with us. I really appreciate that. And right. I'm sure we'll get you back on the pod very soon if you'll come back.
Cool.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, buddy. It's been great catching up. Lovely to see you.
And you, bud.
Cheers, buddy. Cool.